Welcome, rock stars, from Rockland USA Studios in Washington, D.C. This is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to give you ideas, answer your questions, keep you updated on your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, our in-house lawyer and real estate agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Call or text your questions or comments 24 hours a day to 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Rock on the Money, or our website at rockonthemoney.com. What's going on, Amanda?
Oh, I don't know. What's going on with you, Craig?
Oh, I'm watching the markets, and I've made all my money back.
Really? I haven't looked. I've been way too busy. I haven't even had a chance to get on Facebook much this week.
Okay. Just so you know, I'm 100% hypocrite. I actually officially looked at my account this week in my 457. I knew about the trading side because half my money is over Schwab, but yeah. I did not look at my original mutual funds. And I finally did. And I was I was so happy. I was on cloud nine the rest of the day.
That's
so
awesome.
It was not, I think, because I waited till things recovered to look. But I just want to caution people, don't get too excited
right
with the markets. We are actually where I predicted where we would be and where we want to and where we should plateau. But the earnings reports, if people aren't aware, every quarter a company comes out with their earnings reports. They're getting ready to come out, and a bunch of them are not going to be good. I have no idea if the stock market has taken this into account. So
we could go back down.
Everything is looking good, and we're back to March 11th when the NBA said, hey, we're done, and then everything happened after that. We are back up to that level. I just want people to just stay the course. Don't look at your 401k like I did.
Yeah. Oh, I have an update for everyone.
Go ahead.
So I did get that dishwasher last week.
Did you get a Samsung?
Yeah, it's all hooked up. And
Whoa. You bought another Samsung?
No. Not a Samsung. It's a Whirlpool.
Good job.
Yeah.
Good job.
Definitely not a Samsung. Works like a dream. Isn't that exciting, huh? That's the level of exciting activity we have during this safer at home.
Yes, I'm gonna have to poll our Facebook group and see what stories they have, and maybe we'll read a bunch of them on the next podcast. Hey, what do we got on this show?
We've got a couple of social media questions, so definitely keep those coming. Our topic today, our main topic, is on 401k moves and mistakes in the COVID-19 economy, and then we'll wrap it up with our Savvy Savings segment on supercharging your savings during COVID-19.
Oh, by the way, we gave away our gift card for March.
Oh, yeah.
We did a Facebook Live, John. And contacting him and saying that. By the way, we are accepting entries for April. And we already have one phone call, but it came in a little late to get included in this one. We'll get in the next podcast. But we already got a really great question, actually, about retirement. So it's a little more complicated than our typical answer. So, we're going to get that included. I would just do a little more research on that before we answer.
Perfect. But when people are calling, just a friendly reminder, make sure you're including enough detail that we can give you a good response, and rather than a generic response.
Yeah. And, you know, sometime I'd like to call some of these people back, see if they can come on live to better ask. So I got plenty of time now. I can coordinate that.
There you go. Apparently.
Hey, I got a social media question for you. This is up your alley.
Okay.
Hey, someone asked suggestions for the best money market account to put your emergency fund for baby step 3, which is the fully funded emergency fund, 3 to 6 months.
Right. Or as Susie Orman said, what did she say? Like 18 months?
She's on. Yeah. Didn't she say 3 years?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Three years.
It was three. Nah, she's on.
That's a lot.
That's insane. No way.
Yeah. In our world, world 3 to 6 months worth of money of emergency fund. So here I'm going to slightly change the question. I don't think a money market account is the right place to put your emergency fund. I'd rather see it go into a high yield savings account. And those are generally with the online banks. So I personally use Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Mm-hmm. But there are others out there. And I think today's rate was like 1.70%.
Yeah.
So, look, interest rates are super low right now. Right. So you're not going to get a great interest rate anywhere on a savings account. But compared to your brick and mortar banks that are like 0.0% something, it's a pretty good rate. So I use Marcus by Goldman Sachs. There are other online banks that are excellent options. I know Ally has always been an online bank, and they generally have the same type of rate of return as Marcus.
Yeah. And I went on Consumer. I am a subscriber to Consumer Reports because I'm old and I'm still into that. But they have an online service as well. So I went online and pulled up what are the ratings for the online banks. Now, this was done in 2017. And Marcus didn't start till 2016, so it was not included in the survey. So this does not mean Marcus is a bad online bank. Actually, if you're using Amanda, it must be pretty good. And by the way, they are not an advertiser. We get nothing from any of these people.
And the only reason I chose Marcus at the time is because I compared them to Ally, and they historically had a higher interest rate than Ally. But nowadays, they're pretty much the same.
Oh, okay. And the number one online bank was USAA. And anybody that can have USAA for insurance, they're always rated high for everything.
Yeah, I mean, I do bank with USAA. I will tell you that their savings account is a terrible option.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. No, their interest rate is right in line with brick and mortar interest rates on savings accounts. Mm. That being said, they're an excellent online bank for other, like checking and all of that. But
Schwab, which is one of our three low-cost providers for 401k, IRA, whatever, they came in number two, and Ally came in number three. Those are your three highest scores for online banks for customer service, ease of use, all that stuff. Now, the rates will vary on those, as you just said, so just keep that in mind and shop around.
Okay. So this is our second question.
Okay.
Just a future question. When I retire in 20 years, I'll have a Roth 401k and a Roth IRA. Mm. That's all I have in investing. Well, that sounds like enough, right?
Yeah.
What do I do next? How do I live or get these accounts? Can I leave them in there and take out so much to live off of? Kind of puzzled to what happens next.
Okay. So I know who this individual is because they posted this on Facebook. And they also said they work for an aerospace company and they will have a pension of $2,000 a month, which is nice. It's not a lot, Amanda.
Yeah.
And the company matches 1.5% on their 401k. Not that that really changes anything. So I reiterated that retirement is not an age, it's a number. If you don't have the money for the lifestyle that you want to have, you can't retire.
Right.
Well, you can, but you're going to have to back yourself down to whatever that amount is. Okay. So I reiterated that the standard out there is, you've heard this 4% withdrawal rate on your savings account. You can reverse engineer that and come out with what balance you need in order to retire. Here's an example. It's not visual. So let me explain this through. Let's just say you need $40,000 a year. And that's going to cover your housing, food, transportation, utilities, your hobbies. I don't know, fishing, gardening. What are you into?
Travel.
Oh, there you go. Whoa. I don't know. That's going to cover your travel costs. But then you can also head over to the Social Security Administration. Have you ever done that? Set up your account over at?
I do. Yeah, I have an account over there.
Yeah, I think it was at myssa.gov or something like that. But you set up your account and it tells you your information and based on your current contributions that you do from your paychecks, what it anticipates in giving you at different ages, right? Uh-huh. At 62 and so you can go on there and you can bring that number over. So now you take that number and based on your savings, and you can pretty much figure out how much you're going to have in retirement, right? Am I missing anything in that?
I don't think so.
Okay. Let's say they're going to get $16,000 a year from Social Security. So now we're down to $24,000 they have to make up to have a $40,000 lifestyle.
Okay.
So if you use that 4% withdrawal rate, and you want this money to last 20, 30 years, if you do the math, it comes out you need a balance of $600,000. That shocks a lot of people when they hear how much you need just to get $24,000 a year.
A year, yeah.
A year. They're like, wow. I mean, this is why you save early. But anyway, so because they have two Roth accounts, by the way, and congratulations on having two Roth accounts.
Excellent.
That's awesome because that's tax-free federally. Tax-free. They're not going to have to pay the tax in the 22% tax bracket. So right there, that's how much you're going to need as you get close to retirement. Hopefully, those accounts you have are in growth stock mutual funds. You got the gas pedal to the metal, your American U.S. stocks, the S&P 500 index fund, as well as one or two funds that outperform that index. If you can't do that, don't invest in it. Or you can just do the S&P 500 index, like you say, Amanda. You can just simply just do that. But you can't change these funds. Leave them alone. Just keep dumping money in there. Okay. Now, when you get within 10 years of your retirement date, at what point will I have the money to retire? Remember, it's a number, not an age. When you're about 10 years away, time to back off the gas pedal a little bit. There's different ways of doing this. We just come up with this one simple way. Go into the target date fund for the year you're going to retire, because that will automatically do the adjusting for you for the next 10 years. As you get closer and closer, so it's going to be a mix of stocks and bonds, because we still need to make money even in retirement. You just don't put all on bonds because you're not going to make anything. You have to be in stocks somewhat to maintain that balance for 20, 30 years. So, did I miss anything in that?
No, that sounds like you got it covered.
Yeah. So that's one thing. There are a lot of calculators out there, and anybody that, you know, come up with how long you're going to live, I go by my family tree. What is the average for my family tree? Well, unless I get a truck or coronavirus gets me flying around an airplane or something like that. But, I mean, you never know, but we don't worry about getting hit by a car. We worry about natural is all we're worried about. So
that's right.
Anyway. All right, Amanda, I got a question for you. Yeah. If I am 11 years off of retirement, and up to this point, everything has been traditional 401k, is there a benefit to switch now to a Roth or leave it as is?
Well, there's always a benefit to switch. First of all, you should immediately switch all of your current and future contributions to a Roth. So that you're starting, anything that you contribute from today forward goes into a Roth, so it can grow tax-free, as you just mentioned. If you're asking about rolling over what's in your existing traditional 401k to a Roth, the benefit is still there because the balance that you have today that you roll over would then grow tax-free. However, what you have today in your traditional 401k, any of those gains are going to be taxed at your normal income tax rate and all taxed in the same year. So you either need to plan, make an estimated tax payment for approximately, you know, up to one third of whatever that balance is, or you can expect a very hefty tax bill when you do your taxes next year.
There you go. So consult their tax advisor is what you're saying.
Consult your tax advisor is what I always say. Yeah. Yep.
You're always that. Yeah.
And it's not an all or nothing thing either. You can do it in stages. So maybe you think in the next 11 years, you could start you could cut your traditional amount into 11 parts and just move 1/11th of it each year.
Oof, that gave me a headache.
It does. I mean, or you could do it all at once. And then, but again, whatever amount you roll over, you're going to have to pay taxes on that year. The other option is just to keep it there and then use that balance first in your retirement. So do your drawdowns from the 401k first before touching anything that's in a Roth.
So bottom line, all future contributions, make it Roth immediately.
Starting today. Yeah.
Right now. And then the other part, talk to your tax pro.
Yeah, I guess I could have just said that, huh?
Oh, no. I'm just doing a summary.
Got it.
Yeah. I'm going to do a topic here real quick before we take a break.
Okay.
Because this is covering the three most common questions that I get, either by email, instant message, DMs, Facebook group, whatever. So, because they're pretty quick answers, Amanda. Okay. And then the third one, you can throw in your two cents because you've done a topic on this before. So challenge me on that one. So
why am I throwing my two cents wherever I feel like throwing it in?
Absolutely, because you're the queen, baby. All right. Top three questions I'm getting, I mean, all the time. Here we go. Number one, should I stop my contributions? Answer is absolutely not. I don't know how many times I gotta say this. You're buying everything on sale. You know what I came up with today? I was gonna make a fake commercial. You know how like Macy's has a commercial around Christmas time? This is 50% off. This is 25%. I was gonna make it like a Kohl's ad, but make it this mutual fund is 25% off and all that. Now on sale at your local 401k. I should do that because I have too much time. All right, so next question. Oh, and never stop contributing to your 401k. Number two, should I accelerate my contributions? Absolutely, yes.
Yes.
Yes. If you're out of debt and you got your emergency fund in place, if you're doing your 15% and you can afford to do more, dump more in right now. You can back it off later, but while the markets are down, this is like one of those lifetime chances and it's sitting in your lap right now. I've said this before, Amanda, I'll keep it quick. I attribute what I did in 2007 through 9 by accelerating my contributions to where I am today. And I can't repeat this enough. If I can get people to do this one thing, it will pay off in the future.
Yeah. So I might tamper down the absolutely yes and say,
well, you're a lawyer, so I expect you to do it.
Mostly yes.
Well, it depends.
I think it depends right now, because if you're currently out of work or you believe there's a strong possibility that you will be out of work in the short term, I would say no, stash your cash. And then once the storm passes, then accelerate your contributions. And of course, if you're not past baby step three, you shouldn't be accelerating your contributions either.
Correct. Yep. You got to be out of debt and have that fully funded emergency fund in place before we're even talking about this. Absolutely. Right. But I'm telling you, if you can, and guys, you know how many people
are asking
me? Yeah,
my concern is that there are a lot of people who haven't made it past baby step three and are accelerating contributions now.
Oh, they're jumping the gun and I can't stop them. I can't. I can just educate them.
So if you're not past, if you don't have all of your debt paid off except your mortgage and you don't have your 3 to 6 month emergency fund, then I would say absolutely no, you should not accelerate your contributions.
You know what scares me right now though? I see people send me messages all the time. Hey, I'm looking at buying this stock. I want to buy Carnival Cruise. I want to buy Royal Caribbean. And these people have never bought stock before. I'm like, I'm not doing it. Why are you doing it? Well, then they get all pissy and stuff. Guys, I know stocks went down, but you know, it doesn't have to go back up.
Right.
And you're doing single stock risk. I am currently not in any single stocks as of when we're recording this today, right now. I'm in one big index fund.
I'm in some singles.
Well, it's not the S&P 500 index fund, and I'm happy. I'm doing good. Now, it doesn't mean I do day trading. I do quick trades because I have screens. I know what's going on. If you guys have never traded stocks, you didn't do it yesterday. Don't be a stock trader today. Please be careful. It's super dangerous. Like Walmart was down today. I'm usually a big Walmart guy. But anyway.
Yeah.
All the stocks I like are a little pricey right now, and it really concerns me. So I'm not in some of them right now. I'm waiting for them to dip. So like Microsoft, all those are too high now. Anyway, number three, should I rebalance my 401k? So this one is a depends for me, Amanda. Be proud of me. If you're in the correct funds now, I mean, we had the one couple that was in 17 different mutual funds.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't even know how you rebalance that mess. But anyway.
Yeah, you rebalance by getting rid of 15 of them.
There you go. Wow, look at you. So if you're in the correct funds, and what we do is growth stock mutual funds. We bet on America here. That's also a Dave Ramsey thing. Growth stock mutual funds. It just works. You're betting on America. We like doing the S&P 500 index fund. And then in your 401k, look for the large cap growth categories of stocks. Usually you have three or four of them in there. Then you throw that on chart and see if any of them outperform the S&P 500 index. If they do, you want to be in those.
Right.
Man, it's kind of that simple. It's not.
It really is.
It really is.
And aside from that, I would not be rebalancing on any type of frequency. Rebalancing should be done once, at most twice a year.
Right. And most of these places you can set up automatically, or you can go in and do it manually. I just set mine automatically and I don't worry about it.
Right.
So, and I would recommend just do it automatically because you're not going to remember to go in and do it. Go into your account, do once, no more than twice a year, and just set it and forget it. And that's right. Really don't want people touching their 401k. So once you set these things up, just go work, get paid, and know it's growing and move on with your life. It really is that simple. Really, I hate to tell you, that doesn't help us with longevity of this podcast.
Yep, just it does up and because people it. Keep asking the same question.
Well, yeah, they do. And we always get new listeners. So, all right, how about we take a break?
Yeah.
Because I'm dying for some savvy savings.
All right.
And what you got coming up?
We're going to talk about supercharging your savings during COVID-19.
Wow. This is a big COVID-19 podcast.
Well, it is what is on everyone's mind.
Yep, and we're going to stick with it till it's over. So, all right, when we come back, Savvy Savings right here at Rock on the Money. In their podcast feeds, especially on Apple Podcast, there's another podcast showing up in there.
There is?
It would be Savvy Savings with Amanda showing up in there.
Ooh, how exciting.
We're up to episode 3, just got dropped yesterday.
That's awesome.
Depending on when you're listening to this. So that's
so just to clarify for our listeners, it's not something you're missing out on if you listen to the full podcast. We are taking this segment and putting it on a standalone basis for those of you who just want to focus on that or go back and look at some of those segments.
And let me tell you something, based on the listener numbers that I can see in the stats, no one's heard these episodes. These are the first episodes back, like episode 3 is actually from episode 7 of Rock on the Money, which was like 50 million episodes ago. So I'm just rolling, it's like 30 episodes ago, bringing them in. Most people, I'd say 99.9% people have not heard these yet. Now, eventually, they are going to repeat. But, it's good That's stuff. Fine. Yeah. But it's a standalone podcast. And it's only 6 or 8 minutes.
So. Yeah. And there's like a 5 or 6 month delay on it. So it's always a good reminder to listen to again anyway.
Yep. And I'm probably going to do that with some other segments that we do as well. Some really good ones to make them standalones. So
very cool.
Yeah. Anyway, it's all yours, Amanda. What you got?
All right. Well, today we're going to talk about supercharging your savings during COVID-19. Mm. So this is my stash your cash theme.
Stash your cash.
Yeah. So just like always, the first thing you need to start out with is your budget. So every dollar has to have a purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's true today. It was true yesterday and it's going to be true tomorrow.
Yep.
But especially now. So make sure everyone in your household is involved and is focused on the shared goal. And during this tumultuous time, especially if you're impacted by a job loss or a potential job loss, then pause your baby steps and stash your cash. Mm-hmm. So that means that you're not going to be paying extra on your debts. You're still going to continue to make minimum payments, though, mm-hmm. To the extent that you can. And if you can't, listen to some of our tips in, I think it was last episode or the one before, on contacting your creditors to work out make some arrangements if you aren't able to make those payments. But other than that, you want to make your minimum payments and you're going to pause the snow snowballing and pause your extra retirement contributions so that you can continue to save up cash in an emergency fund to carry you through until the end of this storm. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, in the meantime, you're going to, and Craig, what are the two parts of a budget?
Two parts. What's going in and what's going out?
Yeah. Spending versus income. And those are the two that need to balance always. Yep. So here you're going to want to decrease your spending. So use cash instead of credit and make sure you collect your change, whether it's coins or dollar bills, and keep those somewhere else so they can add up. Entertainment. Are there some subscriptions or memberships that you can put on hold because you aren't able to use them right now? Is your gym closed and are you paying a monthly subscription? A lot of these services, or like Massage Envy, if you get massages, a lot of these services are allowing you to either suspend your service if you're under a contract at no additional charge. You'll just pick it back up again after they reopen, or you might be able to cancel depending on what your contract is and what kind of offerings that business is offering you. But take advantage of that right now. If you're not able to go and make use of the service, then consider putting that payment on pause.
I'm a big Roku user. Mm-hmm. I have Rokus on TVs and I have a couple of TVs that have it built in.
Yeah.
They are offering a lot of their premium channels for free right now for 30 days.
Yeah. And not only that, a lot of the premium channels have dumped a lot of their archived content so that people can binge on it. So take advantage of all of those freebies right now. You know, I even saw The Sopranos from HBO is on Amazon Prime streaming.
Wow.
So if you've never seen The Sopranos, you can get in on it now.
And another thing that just launched is Apple Arcade, which, you know, it's 1 month for free. Mm-hmm. And it works on your iPhone, iPad, stuff like that. And I think it comes with 100 games and normally will cost you $4.99. As you just said, they require you to put the credit card in. If you don't forget to cancel that membership in May, you're going to get dinged for another $5 charge. And all these $5 charges add up.
They definitely add up. So anyway, what you need to do is set a reminder on your Google Calendar or whatever calendar app you use on your phone for a day before that, or whatever it says in the contract. Sometimes they charge you 5 days before the renewal or something like that. But make sure you have a reminder set to go ahead and cancel your credit card on file.
Yeah, I'm going to try that Apple Arcade and I'll do a review on the next podcast. And see, I'm a gamer, so let me see if there ain't fun.
Yeah, exactly. So that's an excellent suggestion for a cheap or low cost or free entertainment option during this time. Mm-hmm. Restaurants. So you need to eat, but you don't have to fall for the convenience of delivery even during these times. Yes, we're all trying to make sure that we are supporting small businesses, but you need to protect your family first before other businesses. So it's always family first. So get your shopping list together and shop as infrequently as possible for your own and the public's well-being right now. Now is the perfect time for your menu planning and discount grocery shopping. You may need to get creative with what's available at the store, though, and think about foods that keep longer, like apples or potatoes, rice, beans, cabbage keeps longer than just regular lettuce, things that have a longer lasting staying power. You want to focus on those items. And in terms of other shopping, you're going to want to make sure you remove shopping apps from your phone.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So, it's so convenient to go and click on the Amazon shopping app on your phone and just, they even have this super easy buy now feature where you don't even have to go to a checkout page. So remove that app so that you remove the temptation and take it a step further and remove your saved credit card from your online account with Amazon or others, whatever your, poison of choice is for online shopping, remove your saved credit cards so that you have to really think hard about making that purchase before you go through with it.
I know you and I both have Android phones. I have a Google Pixel, which I love. I have had to pause some of the apps from pushing the sales to my front notification screen.
Oh, I never allow that.
Yeah. I mean, well, you're Ms. Privacy. I would expect that from you.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I don't allow push alerts from almost anyone.
I'm not sure how the iPhones work. I have an iPad. Yeah, turn off all those notifications. Don't allow any of that stuff. It's just another temptation. And they're trying to get front and center from everybody else. So just that's something that I just noticed.
Yeah. And happen. I would even take it a step further. This is a great time when you're sitting there with almost nothing to do to go through your email, like your promotions that you receive, and unsubscribe from emails from shopping sites. Because, again, they are desperate for your money right now. And they're sending you all sorts of really tempting sales and offers. So make sure you're just not even looking at those. Just delete, 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 and unsubscribe so that you aren't getting them again.
I noticed this week they were really ramping up because you know why? There's money coming. And they want a slice of that pie from what the federal government's getting ready to dump in our accounts. So everybody's gearing up. It's like tax refund season.
So, yeah, and I saw they're actually looking to be ahead of schedule. So the first money might even drop next week.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
For those who are on direct deposit anyway.
Yes.
All right. Well, and then also evaluate necessary expenses. So maybe you can't cut things out, but you can cut back. So I bet you're using less gas right now while your car sits in the driveway.
Oh, yeah.
So that might be a line item on your budget that you can steal from right now and put towards some savings. A number of insurance carriers I saw today are actually issuing refunds to customers for because people aren't driving as much. And so they're trying to help people by either refunding money or putting a credit against your account for a portion of your bill for these 2 months while there aren't as many cars on the road. So that's nice.
I saw an interview with Allstate and they are redoing. What's the term that they use for long-term planning? They're forecasting that people are going to be driving.
Oh, the actuary.
There you go, the actuary. They say the models that they're looking at is people will be driving less in the future. Businesses will not be having you come in 5 days a week because they've realized teleworking actually works. So
it works.
Everyone's bills may actually drop in the future. Yeah. So that's cool.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. And a lot of your carriers aren't even requiring you to take any action. You're automatically just going to see that benefit.
Wow.
Okay, so what else? You can re-examine your bills. Now's the time to reevaluate everything in your bills and your budget. So what about your cell phone plan? Your cell phone company even? What about your cable bill, your car insurance carrier, life insurance, gym memberships? Negotiate better deals with these providers or change your provider. Now's the time. If you're sitting at home and this is the most time you've had available in a long time, what better time than now to go ahead and make those changes? And then finally, buy in bulk if it's a deal and only a deal, but don't hoard.
Yes.
Yes.
I have a lot of rice and beans.
Yeah. So again,
I thought the world was coming to an end and it didn't. So if anybody needs any, I'll ship it to you.
All right. So that's a good summary or refresh on how you can decrease your spending, especially in this change circumstance where you might have other options available to you that aren't always available to you. And then the flip side of that, the other side of the coin here is increase your income. So if you are still working, is there overtime available? And that is the case in a number of areas, or are there extra shifts available? You know, especially obviously if you're working in healthcare, there's plenty of hours available for you to snatch up, but that's not the only area. Any type of delivery service is usually running around the clock right now. A lot of other companies are hiring and are asking for extra hours right now. So there's plenty of opportunity out there for overtime or extra shifts. You can also look at side gigs or side hustles, and the demand for those types of things are higher now than they've ever been. If you don't want to go with like a organized side hustle like Uber or I don't know what else is out there, delivering for Amazon or something like that, you could do something less formal, like offering your services in your neighborhood or within your general circle. Of course, complying with the CDC recommendations of social distancing and no contact. But maybe you can do some yard work for a neighbor who's unable to do their own. And that doesn't require any contact except for payment, but I'm sure you can arrange that through Venmo or something mm-hmm. else. Cleaning or organizing basements or garages, meal prep or running errands for people. Focus on things that people don't want to or can't do themselves. And then finally, you can declutter your own home and sell those items that you no longer need, or just set them aside and get them organized for selling once all of this passes so that you're ready to go with a big, huge garage sale. Mm. Finally, you can always get radical. Sell your car. We've talked about that before. Do you need to be a two-car family, especially right now when people aren't driving or going to work? You can always buy another car when this is all done, but maybe mm-hmm. now's the time to sell an expensive car, go to one car for the next couple of months, and then pick up a less costly car a few months down the road, and just think about all that cash you freed up in the meantime. And then the other thing I recommend is a 30-day hold period for unplanned or impulse purchases. So anything that's not in your line item budget, but you see and you're like, oh, I really need that, or I really, and people say need, but it's really, I really want that, right?
Yes.
Put it on pause for 30 days. And if you still want it after 30 days, or you still think you need it after 30 days, then, you know, maybe it is something that you should work into your budget. And then for absolutely necessary big spends, make sure you're getting 3 quotes, because I'll tell you, when we were doing home repairs or home remodel projects, it's shocking how different the quotes can be in terms of price from one provider to another. Like, just the same exact plumbing job by 3 different plumbers can differ by thousands of dollars. Mm. So make sure you're getting 3 quotes. And then when you settle on your preferred provider, don't be afraid to negotiate further. They don't know what everyone else is quoting you. So continue to negotiate even when you have picked out your provider.
You know what I noticed? My daughter's a school teacher and she has to mm-hmm. teach from home. They're mm-hmm. on Easter break, believe it or not. So I'm like, how do you have spring break when you didn't have school? But anyway,
yeah,
during spring break, she was having a problem with her camera in her laptop mm-hmm. when she's teaching the kids. Uh-huh. So I told her, I said, well, you need an external webcam. The ones in the laptops don't work very well. So we went on Amazon, and I'm very shocked at the markups on many products on Amazon right now by third party. And it's, to me, it's almost illegal.
Yeah.
I know you're a lawyer, but it's because I went to Best Buy.
Well, it actually is illegal in a number of states. Like here in Florida, you reported price gouging is illegal.
Because I went to BestBuy.com. You can do curbside pickup. The webcam I told her to get, it's a Logitech. It's a great camera. It's $69. It's a high quality camera. Over at Amazon, people are selling for $199, $299, as high as $500 for a webcam. Yeah. Same exact webcam. I said, just go to Best Buy. Not do a Amazon. But most people don't compare prices, I guess, or people are paying it. I don't know. Just, I started looking at other products, and it's amazing what's going on Amazon right now. And Amazon really needs to clean up their act and not
allow
that to
happen. Well, don't be afraid to report that both to Amazon and to your state attorney general.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with a number of people who were hoarding and then trying to make a huge profit, marking up masks and hand sanitizers. It was reported and the states shut them down.
Good. Then I'm going to report all those webcam people, because that was ridiculous. Like, just mm-hmm. go to Best Buy. Anyway, very good, Amanda. That was awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And as always, a quick reminder, check out our website, rockonthemoney.com. We have show notes. All the podcasts are located right there. The website turns into a player. You can play it right on your phone. Plus, there's links there so you can subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platforms, including Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and TuneIn. And if you could leave us a review and some star ratings on those platforms, it really, really helps us out a lot. Check out our Facebook group community with over 3,000 people in there. Facebook.com/groups/your401k. And also check out our Facebook page at Rock on the Money. So long, everybody. We really, really do have a lot of gratitude for you listening, sharing, and spreading the word. You guys are great. Amanda and I cannot emphasize how much we appreciate you guys. So long, and we'll see you again next week. Until next time, America. opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.